Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Call Talk for Wednesday, February 17th, 2010. Our topic today is benchmarking made easy. During the show, we invite you to ask your questions via email at calltalk@benchmarkportal.com, chat on calltalk.tv, or call in to ask the host your questions and interact with the show. The number to call in is 347-857-3117. Everyone who asks a question, email, or phone on the show will receive a free copy of Bruce's book, Benchmarking at Its Best, and one person will be chosen at random to win an in-depth reality check benchmarking report valued at $1,500. And now I'd like to introduce the host of the Call Talk, Bruce Belfiore.
Thank you very much, Sean, and welcome back to Call Talk, everyone. Well, our listeners chose today's topic on benchmarking made easy, and of course, we at Benchmark Portal love benchmarking, so we're always ready to talk about it. And I'd like to introduce my guest today, who's John Chatterley. He's been on the program before and has gotten great reviews from our listeners, and it's probably because John is one of the most experienced practitioners, researchers, and writers in the business. John set up and ran call centers for MicroAge, a former Fortune 500 company. I guess when you say former John is not there anymore, I hope that didn't have anything to do with you. But anyway, while he was there, he covered just about every position there is. And he's the author of the book Offshore Outsourcing Opportunities with Dr. John Anton. And he's been a copy editor of dozens of books, research papers, case studies, and articles over the last decade. He's also a member of Benchmark Portal Statistics Committee and produces industry reports and heads the Center of Excellence Certification Program. As a result, he knows pretty much as much about benchmarking as anybody on the planet. So, John, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Bruce. I'm happy to be back with you.
Okay, great. Sean, can I just ask, are you getting an echo on the line right now for me?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to call back in, and John, maybe while I'm doing that, you could just cut to the chase on two topics. What's benchmarking good for, and what are the problems with benchmarking?
Glad to do that, Bruce. I look forward to getting back. But we know that benchmarking is good for a lot of centers. Let me put in a few bullet points, some of which our listeners may be familiar with, and some which might offer some new insights. First, benchmarking is a way of judging your performance overall against the industry. Second, is a way of pinpointing strengths and weaknesses in your own operation. And third is a way of exploring the weaknesses to figure out the underlying problems in the people, processes, and tech. This allows you to formulate your plans and proposals to fix specific gaps in metrics and to improve your performance. You're not necessarily proving or picking improvement initiatives based on gut feel or the last colleague or vendor you spoke with or a webinar or event you attend. You're charting your future based more on your objective benchmarked metrics. Benchmarking itself also provides a solid foundation that you need to support your business proposals to make the improvements that you uncover that you need. Obviously, it won't surprise anybody that I'm sold on benchmarking. There seems to be every reason to do it and no excuse for doing it. So why isn't everybody benchmarking every month?
Mm-hmm.
Our conclusion.
John?
Yeah, Bruce.
Okay, I'm back. Do I still have the? I do have the echo. Okay, I apologize. I'm going to get on another telephone. But in the meantime, maybe you could keep going.
Glad to. Essentially, the reason centers aren't benchmarking all the time is due to time and effort. Having operated call centers for many years in the past, I realized that a daily call center operation is a very up-to-the-moment activity, and it takes a considerable effort to set aside time to do benchmarking. There are often several different management reports that have to be combined and combed through, and sometimes managers have to dig into their manuals to find out the definition of reported metrics to be sure they match the definitions that are used. Are you back, Bruce?
I'm back, John. I hope I'm not having a repeat now. Can everybody hear me okay?
Well, I can hear you just great.
Okay, great.
I was just up to the point of talking about the definitions used in the surveys.
Those definitions can be so important. I know that, you know, one person's occupancy, another person's utilization, as you and I sometimes say, but it's definitely worth the effort because of the fact that you get so much good information that you can then have actionable results from.
That's right. You really can't make decisions without benchmarking input.
Okay.
In this day and age, no self-respecting call center manager would commit a budget or change people and processes without the benchmarking data in hand. You don't want to shoot blind when you're using corporate resource sources, and you want to have your ducks in order when you're answering questions on your decisions and your requests. One question that I'm often asked, Bruce, is if I had to focus on one KPI, which one do you consider the most important?
What's your answer to that?
Well, the answer that always leaps to my mind first is customer satisfaction. And I would follow that up very quickly with first call resolution. I think those two do more to promote customer loyalty and maintain customer satisfaction than any of the others.
Okay. And it is important to not only know what your metrics are, but also to benchmark them against others, because obviously if your customer satisfaction is much higher or lower, or your first call resolution is much higher or lower than your competitors, you need to know that. I think I am still getting an echo here, so I apologize for that. I'm going to drop off again and see if I can get back on.
Well, I'd have to agree with you on that, Bruce. Still, from extensive on-site audits that I've conducted, I've often found that management is conflicted on which metrics beyond the two just mentioned they should focus on and what trade-offs they're faced with when they concentrate on a specific metric. For example, you know, they can face the prospect that working to lower talk time could impact their first call resolution. And this isn't necessarily the thing that they would like to do, especially if they are providing technical support. Another example of boosting, metrics is occupancy. Boosting occupancy can sometimes contribute to agent burnout and accelerate attrition. So one has to look at balancing the performance across multiple KPIs in order to achieve an overall improvement in efficiency and effectiveness with which they deliver their service. And on that note, I would like to invite every Call Talk listener to a free call center performance reality check from Benchmark Portal, combined with a formalized reality check readback by one of our Purdue certified call center auditors. All you have to do to capitalize on this offer is to visit the Benchmark Portal homepage and click on Reality Check, fill out the short questionnaire there, and then wait for our call for an appointment to give them the read, to give you the readback.
That's a great point, John, and something that hopefully a lot of people will be able to take advantage of, particularly anybody who hasn't already had the experience with benchmarking. Sean, I think you have a question. Sean?
Maybe we've lost Sean for the moment.
No, I'm here. Sorry. Bob asked, how often should I benchmark my center to make sure that I am staying ahead of the competition?
Okay, Sean, actually, we have an echo from you as well. And let's see, John, okay, maybe you can answer that question. You're the only one who doesn't seem to have an echo.
Well, that's a great question, and there's no cut and dried answer to that. But to set out sort of a map or a guideline, at least once every 6 months is a good idea, and more often, especially if you're undergoing changes, if you're increasing call volume and thereby increasing agent staff, if you're implementing a new technology, it's really important to benchmark your center twice, once before the improvement initiative is undertaken, and then again following the improvement initiative, so that you can show your return on investment, justify the estimates that were made on improvement in service before the improvement initiative is done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's good. John, you know what? Sean is thinking that maybe it's your phone. Could you possibly hang up and then call from another phone, and we'll give that a try. We apologize to our listeners for the inconvenience. We'll give that a try.
Yeah, I'll be glad to. Okay.
It's a little bit of a high-risk strategy because it was the only one that was working, so now we're getting rid of it. But right now, it sounds like everything's okay, Sean. Is that correct? Okay, good. It's gone now. So that must have been it. Anyway, good. So I hope that people are able to take advantage of the offer. And one of the things, and John may have mentioned this already, he and I talked about it beforehand, there are a couple of ways to try to make benchmarking easier. One is to be very methodical about going through it the first time and to get a committee together of people who are the experts in the various metrics, from your workforce management people to your reporting people, et cetera, and basically have a team effort toward putting together the metrics so that it's not just all put on one person. And then keep the notes from that first benchmarking round, and when you then do benchmarking again, pull out that folder with the information in it, and then you can basically replicate what you did before and not have to reinvent the wheel. We oftentimes find that even some people who've done it for a few years in a row haven't done that, and so therefore they have to kind of bring up and find and dig out reports again that they've done in the past. So that's one tip for making it easier. And another one has to do with a future item that we're working on now that we're calling Direct Connect. And for that, we're going to be offering something. Watch for this by the end of 2010, where you'll be able to upload information directly from your reporting system or your ACD to a site that we will make available. And then we will be able to turn around, put that information into our database, and provide you with reports and dashboards that will make it seamless for you to get your benchmarking information. The wonderful thing here is you won't have to dig out those reports. You won't have to put in anything. It will all be done automatically. So this is something that's slated for 2010, and we look forward to talking to you more about that in the future. So, John, I think you're back on now. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm back on. I hope this sounds a little better.
It does sound a little better. Maybe a little bit farther from the telephone, but overall it sounds very good. So let's see. Sean, should we go back to you for another question?
Sure. We had a question just come in. This one came from John. What are the security issues of uploading information automatically? I'm not sure my IT guy will let me do Direct Connect.
Okay, well, John was listening closely to what I was just saying. Actually, that's a very good question. So Direct Connect does foresee information going directly from your ACD into an upload that we can then take it from and put it into our database and then turn around a report to you. I mean, just think about that, how nice it would be to be able to get that information on a regular basis without having to dig through reports, et cetera. But it does mean that you have to deal with your IT people with regard to security issues. And right now we see a couple of ways around. One of them is that you will be able to basically have the information sent to one of your managers who then the button such that the file can be uploaded to our site. So it will be a little less automatic. It will require manual intervention, but that manual intervention will be limited to simply pushing a button to forward the information rather than having to actually gather all the information, which as a manual process is a lot tougher. Okay, so John, I hope that answers your question. If not, please send another one. Good question. Do you have another one, Sean?
Not at this time. But everyone who's listening, remember you can call in your questions, email, or add them to the chat box on calltalk.tv.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, one of the things that people oftentimes ask about is the glossary of terms for the formulas for the different KPIs. John, maybe you'd like to talk about that for a little bit.
Sure. We've made a great effort to try to capture and make sure that the terms that are used are well understood and common across the benchmarking community. And we have a glossary of those terms available on the Benchmark Portal website so that anyone can visit that, open that up, or download the glossary for their own internal use. One of the benefits of the glossary is that it includes not only a overall definition of the terms, but it also includes the formulas showing how each of the key performance metrics are calculated. So it's helpful when you're trying to come up with the equation for talk time or average the average for occupancy or utilization or some of those terms that are and definitions that are less familiar to pull down the glossary and step through it. That way, when you benchmark, you can be sure that you're comparing apples with apples.
And John, you know, one of the things that I've noticed too is that by going through the glossary, oftentimes when people are doing benchmarking for the first or second time, they start to understand the interrelationship that you were talking about earlier among the various metrics. And it's really a great way of sort of getting to understand some of the yins and yangs inside the call center, because you'll oftentimes push here and it will sort of pull out somewhere else. And if you understand how those interactions apply, then you can be much smarter about what levers you push in terms of going forward and improving your center. You know, again, trying to make your average speed of answer come down and your talk time come down can oftentimes result in lower first call resolution. It can also result in higher abandons. And so understanding the interrelationships there is very important so that you don't sort of get a one metric view of how your center works.
Well,
okay,
Bruce,
go ahead.
Let me comment. I think you struck on the key. The question the call center managers should be asking themselves is, how good is good enough? And benchmarking is the only way to find that out. There's no need in spending extra dollars on bring down talk time, for example, if you're already delivering a talk time level that is as good as or better than your competitors, and you might want to look at focusing on another key performance indicator for a improvement initiative. It's balancing. Yeah, the key is balancing the metrics for efficiency and for call quality and customer satisfaction. That's the real essence of benchmarking, and that's the real challenge that all call center managers are constantly dealing with. Go ahead, Bruce.
At the end of the day, it's the essence of good management, isn't it? I mean, benchmarking should be the biggest aid that you have in terms of balancing your efficiency and your effectiveness and therefore optimizing your center. And that's how it should be used, as a tool specifically for optimizing your center in a way that you can show your senior managers, in a way you can prove to yourself and to your agents and your supervisors that, in fact, you're doing as good a job possible at balancing those factors. Okay, Sean, I think you've got a another question coming in.
Yes, we have a caller on the line. Let me just bring him on. Hold on 1 second.
Oh, good, a caller.
Oops. Sorry, my control panel. I believe, Jeff, are you on the line?
Yes.
Okay, Jeff, go ahead with your question.
I have trouble understanding the difference between occupancy and utilization. Aren't they both about the same? And if so, why do I need to track both of those?
Wow, Jeff, that's an absolutely outstanding question, and one that we're often asked. You know, the best way to understand occupancy is that occupancy is a measure of how much of a total agent's time or shift time they are logged into the system ready to take calls. That doesn't necessarily mean they're on a call, but it means they're in a call-ready state. So whether they're on a call or waiting for the next call or working on after-call work time, that's the time that's included in the definition of occupancy. So, for example, if an agent is logged into the system 6 hours out of an eight-hour shift, then their occupancy would be 75%. Utilization, on the other hand, is sort of a submetric of occupancy. Utilization is the amount of time that agents are actually engaged in a call or engaged in the after-call work time associated with the call. So the difference between the two is that occupancy is the amount of time they're logged in, and utilization is the amount of time they're talking to customers or doing a follow-up after-call work following a call. So let's say that out of the total occupancy, an agent is engaged in calls 80% of the time, or, you know, is engaged in the calls 80% of the time, then that 80% becomes their occupancy number, or their, excuse me, now I'm getting the two terms mixed up. That becomes their utilization number. I hope that answered your question. Bruce, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, I did, just in the sense that one of the important things in looking at these metrics is trying to figure out what the accountability is. In fact, I'm working with a client right now where they're very good at trying to figure out not just what needs to get done, but who's accountable for it. And if you look at occupancy and utilization, this is a perfect place to indicate that occupancy is in great part the responsibility of the agent. They are supposed to be seated in their seats, logged in, and ready for calls when they're supposed to be. You know, they're supposed to be, and it's very closely tied to adherence to schedule, et cetera. Utilization, on the other hand, is a responsibility of management, of workforce management in particular. So that's where the accountability lies. In other words, if the agent is there, plugged in, ready for a call, then it's the responsibility of workforce management to make sure that they are optimally utilized in doing that. And as a result, we like to see occupancy levels that are reasonable, you know, 80% level or something like that, but so that you don't have burnout. You don't want a 90% occupancy level under our definition, or you will burn your agents out. On the other hand, once they're in their seat, they should want to do a good job, and they usually do, and therefore you want to keep them busy. Okay, good. Let's see. If we don't have another question, Sean might be off for a second. Let me just talk about one other thing that can be very important. Oh, Jeff, are you still on, by the way?
Yes.
Okay, great. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you very much. That was great. I appreciate the info that you guys have been able to provide today.
Okay, great. We're happy to do that. Actually, one of the other things that came to mind, I was just thinking back on the whole Direct Connect situation. One of the things that we provide to people who benchmark is their position on the four-quadrant matrix. So for those who are not familiar with it, basically on a graph, we show you your position vis-a-vis basically the rest of your industry. And we put a star on this graphic that shows whether you are more efficient and effective than your competitive peers, or less so in each of the indices, which are effectiveness and efficiency. And that star can move around over time. And one of the nice things about having an automated way of benchmarking is that you'd be able to do that, say, on a monthly basis and see how your star is moving regularly instead of waiting until the end of the year, as some people do, and sort of having the surprise of finding out that the industry has moved from underneath you without your knowing. So, in other words, one of the principles of good management is no surprises, or at least as few surprises as possible. And therefore, understanding how you are benchmarked against your industry on a monthly or quarterly basis can really help you out in terms of understanding where you might be slipping and where your strengths are. So, John, do you have anything to add to that?
Only this, Bruce. The more a manager is tracking and benchmarking their center, the more closely connected they are with how they're doing with respect to their industry peers, and the better job they're likely to be doing. And so all I can say, I'm an absolute banner-waving believer in benchmarking. As I mentioned prior to joining Benchmark Portal, we use benchmarking regularly, and we were able to document a monetary as well as a metric customer satisfaction improvements as a result of that. So I just am a true advocate and truly believe that, and invite our listeners to take advantage of the offer that I mentioned earlier to visit our website and do a reality check.
Okay. Sean, do you have a another caller?
Yes, I do. Luann, you're on the show. Ask the host your question.
I'm interested in John's thoughts on average handle time being an antiquated metric. I'm hearing more and more about that, and I always agreed because I want quality over quantity.
Well, if I said that I thought that you said talk time or call handle time is an antiquated metric.
Mm-hmm.
If I said that, then I probably misspoke. I didn't really.
John, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm sorry. That's a big topic in the LinkedIn groups and other places throughout the industry, that it's an antiquated metric, and I wanted your thoughts on it.
I see. Well, I regard talk time as as one of the 12 most important metrics to measure the effectiveness of a call center operation. Too little time, as Bruce has previously mentioned, can result in lowered customer satisfaction because the call may not get resolved if the emphasis is so strong on that. And also it can lead to a higher abandon rate. So I believe that an important rule in handling any call is to make every effort to try to resolve that call during the initial call. Follow-up calls never lead to satisfaction on the caller's part. So in my opinion, talk time and call handle time remain high on the list, and in no way do I consider them to be antiquated metrics. So thank you, Lillian, for that excellent question.
Thank you.
Lillian, stay on just for a second, Lillian, because I'd like to just add something to that, because I do think that there has been a hot debate about average handle time, and that a lot of people have felt there's been too much emphasis put on it in the past. And I would agree with a lot of those people because, you know, you have a situation where management, not senior management, sometimes not knowing enough, will say, okay, the best way to keep headcount down is to get down the average handle time. And then your first call resolution goes down and your customer satisfaction goes down, and then everybody starts getting unhappy again. What we have found, though, Luann, is that there are definite situations where average handle time, when properly spotlighted in context of the other things that John and I'm sure your LinkedIn groups have been talking about with regard to quality, in context can actually make a difference in terms of the overall positioning of the call center. Just very quickly, there's one situation where we certified a center, really good center, but their handle time was really long, and they basically had the idea, we don't care as long as we have very high quality. And what we did was to say to them, you know what, you have very mature agents here. They had very low turnover. They had very good responsiveness from the agents. And we said, you know, if you coach those agents and explain to them that one of the things that you need to do to get a little bit more in line is to improve on that handle time, then I bet that you are able to coach them to just as high quality and bring down that handle a little bit. And they did. And so the result was everybody was happy. The agents didn't feel pressured. They felt like they were being treated like adults, which they were. But they were being given responsibility to just be a little bit aware of how they could be just as good on the quality side through proper coaching and at the same time bring down the amount of time they use to handle it. Does that make sense to you, Luann?
Oh, yes, that's great information. Thank you.
Okay, good. Very good. Sean, well, I think we're at the end of our half-hour slot here. Actually, we've gone beyond it a little bit, but do you have any other questions?
We did have one other question. Let me just get to it. Let's see. This question came in from Kim. she's been asked to find a nationally recognized productivity stat for hospital call centers. For example, how many calls per hour per FTE should we expect our staff to handle? Since there's no typical hospital call center, this seems like an impossible task, since there's so much among call centers in terms of types of calls they handle and a mix of calls. Any ideas?
Yeah. Actually, my ideas, and probably John's too, would be that we do have a pretty good database on medical centers at this point. So if she were to benchmark with us, she could get that metric. I think that's in our in-depth reality check, but still it's a very good metric to have. We have found that the medical community more and more has been more tuned in to benchmarking from everything from health insurance to other kinds of insurance and as well as other kinds of medical and health care. Interestingly enough, quite a few university health centers benchmark with us. So there is a way of finding that out, and I think it'd be worthwhile to do so.
Bruce, if I could just jump in here, there's also, though this is not directly at what we've been talking about today, But there's also another way for members of any industry, whether it's hospitals, whether it's financial services or any other industry, there's a way for them to find out what the industry average is for their industry, and that's through the use of our annual industry reports. We publish annual industry reports for 43 different vertical industry sectors, so the chances are that for most listeners, the industry that their center belongs to is covered in one of our industry reports. So that's another way for them, without having to go through all the rigors of benchmarking, if they just want to see how other centers are doing, that's another way for them to get that information.
Okay, very good. Great idea, John. Okay, well, I'd like to thank all of our listeners for joining us and to hand things back over to Sean.
Okay. I want to thank our host, John Chatterley, for his great insights during the show today. Thank you for all the questions from the participants. I really think it was a great show. Sorry we went over, but we went over because questions were coming in, and we like to interact with the audience. Don't forget, if you do have any questions about how you compare benchmarking, you can try our reality check to see how you compare to your peers in your industry. Our winner today for the in-depth reality check is Kim. Kim, I'll send you an email on how you can move forward to completing your in-depth reality check. The topic for our show, our next show, is developing agents who are more customer-centric. This show will be on March 3rd, Wednesday, same time, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you very much for attending our show, and have a great day.